This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. Thursday, week 12 kicks off tonight in Houston, Buffalo. We'll get to that to end the program. Don't forget, this is a VSiN product, $9.99 for the first month. Become a VSiN pro. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Educate yourself. Got Opta AI props modeling, not just NFL props, but NBA props, and doing great. So go check that out. Samo, I think this is the best place to start week 12. Let's run through these quarterbacks. Burrow, no decision, may play, but Flacco does have a shoulder. We'll get to that. I mean, essentially, they'd have to run the table. They're 3-7, obviously. Penix Jr., he's out. Cousins and the other one there, Drake London, out as well. We should keep an eye on that. Aaron Rodgers, unsure if he's going to play with the left wrist. CJ Stroud is out for tonight, Samo. Bryce Young is going to play. Shedeur Sanders and Tyrod Taylor in for the Jets. So a lot of quarterback news. I think it's important to kind of set the table there.
Yeah, week number 12, and we have seven quarterbacks that we are unsure of or going to be a new starter this week. Pretty crazy how fast the NFL can hit you. Some of those matter a lot. I mean, I'm looking forward to talking about Cincinnati and the Burrow Flacco of it all and how you adjust for the line there and what is Burrow worth coming back after missing 3 months. I think the Aaron Rodgers one, fascinating as well, considering it's a non-throwing wrist. Like how do you grade him out from a just quarterback perspective? Is it a big drop-off with that injury? I personally don't think so. I've heard other people say it's massive because you don't know if he's going to play the full game. But it's just a very, very interesting week 12 here with these quarterback moves.
All right, Samo, let's get to it. Let's run the board. 241, Pittsburgh's at Chicago. I am going to be on Chicago for one of my plays here. I know, trust me, you can go through who they've beaten and how they've beaten them, and it is luck. And they're not turning the football over a 7-1 stretch. But we just talked about Rodgers. Now, Mason Rudolph's not a huge drop-off, if we're being fair. And I know Pittsburgh's defense is playing better. I'm in on Chicago right now. So I'm going to lay the 2.5 with Chicago.
I mean, good on you for having an opinion in this game. I want to fire it to the sun. I have absolutely no interest in betting this football game in any way, shape, or form, not only because of the Rodgers issues there, but to me, these are the two most fraudulent teams right now in the NFL with the records with the way that they are currently sitting. It's a Bears team that has really been buoyed by turnover differential, by third down defense, two of the stats that are incredibly, there's a lot of variance inside of those, so you'll see those fluctuate, specifically season to season. Not necessarily it's in a single season, because especially 12 weeks in, the stats are pretty set in stone there, but it's just one of those games where I don't have any faith in the Chicago team, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. And you flip over and you look at the offense, I think it's been pretty good, but Caleb Williams, still the lowest completion percentage above expectation. He's negative 7% on passes that should be completed. So there's just so many issues with both of these teams that I don't want to get involved, because I feel like there's better spots to utilize your capital.
Fair enough. 243, the Jets, Tyrod Taylor, we mentioned it, at Baltimore. Questions about Lamar, though. He was limited in practice today, as we talked to you on Sharp Money on a Thursday. The Jets, this is up to 13.5. Pinnacle showing 14.
Yeah, we saw this at 14.5 on Monday, and we talked about, hey, if it's Jets or pass at 14.5, for me at 13.5 or 14, we're still in Jets or pass territory, because this is a Baltimore team, which I also think is a kind of fraudulent team at this point. We've yet to see them out of the bye, when they got everybody back, come out and play a complete game. We've talked about them struggling against Miami on Thursday night. If you watch that Browns game, that was a ugly, ugly football game for Baltimore last week. The offense not really able to get it rolling. Derrick Henry has a long run, but that's about it. Lamar just doesn't look like MVP Lamar. And until I go out and see that on the field, it is hard for me to really want to jump behind this Ravens team. So it's Jets or pass for me at 13.5. I do think if you want to get a little frisky here, A.D. Mitchell, his receiving yards prop is at 23.5. It's really low. He got 5 targets last week. He had 3 drops. That's not great. But with Tyrod Taylor coming in, you'd expect you're going to throw the football a little bit more efficiently over there in New York. I think A.D. Mitchell might be the beneficiary of it. So it Jets or pass, and A.D. Mitchell over receiving yards or pass here.
Yeah, I think Tyrod gives him a little boost. I like the 14 if you can get it. I love the 14 and a half, obviously, past the 14. It's Jets are pass for me as well. It's not even a question. 245, the Giants at Detroit. So we talked about this one big time on Sunday. We both said, I just can't imagine the Giants walking into a worse spot.
Mm-hmm.
First off, the Detroit defense played great in Philly. That's going to be an issue for your boy Jameis. And then secondly, I mean, they just, first off, it's dubious now with their record, and they are in a spot where they are upset. And I love the Detroit here. Now, we talked about them at 10, I believe, on Sunday. It is 10 and a half pretty much everywhere. So that's why we said jump on it then.
Yeah, we said go out there, get the 10. If a 9.5 ever pops, go out there and take a piece of that 9.5. This is just so similar to what we saw a couple weeks ago when Detroit off a loss took on a Washington Commanders team, which, look,
yep,
the defense stinks. This Giants defense is not very good. Detroit should be able to run the football, pass the football. And while Winston is fun, that doesn't mean that he's going to be able to cover. Like, that just means that you've got variance involved. He's going to throw some picks. He'll throw some passes into coverage. I still like the Detroit side here at 10.5. It's still Detroit or pass for me. I've got the 10 in the account. So I wouldn't bet it here at 10.5. But to me, you kind of wait around. Don't bet it right now. Wait and see if you get a 10 at any point. Because the difference between 10.5 and 11, it's not huge. So if this goes the opposite way and you miss a half point, this isn't the worst half point to miss, especially if you can capture a 10, and that's the other version of this.
And just a quick note, if you're thinking of teasing, oh, I like the, don't go down to 4. You got to go through the 3. So let's just be clear there. If you want to lay it with the Lions, go ahead and lay the 10, but don't bring it down and try to find a match. You're in a good, that's a perfect example going to Washington. I just can't think of a better elixir than the Giants coming to Ford Field after that Monday Night Football game.
One thing to note, since your boy Dan Campbell took over play calling duties, we've seen the Jameson Williams route tree expand drastically. He's sitting at 54.5 receiving yards. He's someone I'd look to the over. We've seen him run a lot more crossing routes, a lot more in routes, out routes. It's not just the go ball anymore for Williams ever since Dan Campbell took over. I think that continues here. I don't mind looking at Williams over 54.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, a guy that covers him, Tex. Part of the reason Dan Campbell took it over was the underutilization, literally, of Jameson Williams. And you've just seen his usage and targets go up. You nailed it. Let's go 247. New England's at Cincinnati. So, again, we don't know about Burrow as we record. I don't know what the books are doing as far as that, because it's six and a half. It's a little bit of it's going to stay down if it is Burrow, and you might see a 7 pop if it isn't.
Yeah, this is interesting because, like, the look ahead was Patriots 5.5. The reopen was 7, and we saw it get up to 8.5 at one point, as high as 9.5 in some places. When it got down to 6.5, I bet the Pats. So give me the Patriots here minus the 6.5. For a couple reasons. First off, this number is now assuming Burrow is going to play. Okay, this number is not below 6.5 if this is Flacco with no Jamar Chase. So I'm happy to take the 6.5. And if Burrow plays, I don't mind having the 6.5, Patrick. We have seen Joe Burrow in these situations come back from injury before and need a game or two to really find his footing. We've seen it at the start of seasons consistently with him when he's missed training camp. You're not going to get the A game from Joe Burrow game one. This is game one back from an injury. It's been 3 months since he played football. The expectation here that you're just going to see the best version of Joe Burrow right out of the gate without Jamar Chase, I think that's a stretch. So I'm willing to lay it here now that we're under a touchdown. So give me the Pats laying the 6.5.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you like the Patriots, bet it now, because I think if it is, it's going to stick around there if it's Burrow, and I think you might see a 7. If it is Flacco, I think you said it perfectly. Remember also a weird spot for Cincinnati. They do play Thursday on Thanksgiving. So I not saying peeking ahead, but potentially we shall see. 249 Seattle at Tennessee. I love Seattle. On what planet are you laying 13.5 on the road at Tennessee?
Well, on what planet are you taking it with the Titans?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's legal. I don't want to watch the game. I don't want to bet the game.
Yeah, this is one of those where I'm just like, all right. I mean, if you want to look at props, I think that's the best play to play this. To be clear, it would be Seahawks or pass for me. I don't want to jump in and take the 13 with the Titans in any way, shape, or form. Anything under 14 would be Seahawks or pass. I have not bet this myself. I'm not planning on betting this. But I do think the Seattle side is the right side, anything under 14. One thing that I thought was interesting, after the game last week, so actually a couple things. First off, we'll start with this. I rewatched that tape. Sam Darnold was bad. He wasn't last year bad against
fine.
Detroit. He wasn't last year bad against the Rams. There were a couple really good plays by that Rams secondary on two of the picks. So I'm not going to throw dirt on Sam Darnold already. Second one, after the game, Mike McDonald, the head coach, comes out and says, Kenneth Walker's running really hard. We love what he's doing back there. That's why we've seen his usage rate go up. If you believe that's true and you're getting a weak run defense here in the Titans, I think looking at Walker rush yards over 56.5 is a good look, because if he ends up with 75% of the carries instead of 60% of the carries, he's going to have a very good opportunity to go over that number.
You know, with horse racing, VSiN at the Track podcast, Samich and Halterman do, you can find it wherever you find your podcast. It's the best out there. You know, you get confirmation bias on a horse, either positive or negative, and then it bites you in the ass. Mm-hmm. Everybody with Darnold and Jones, Daniel Jones, are waiting for the performance we saw to be like, oh, yeah, see, I knew that. No, dude, they've been awesome this year. You're allowed to have bad games. Are you killing Jared Goff?
Killing Patrick Mahomes? He had a rough game.
Mahomes has been bad for a stretch. Just relax. It's a vacuum. Don't get into
All right, Aaron. R-E-A-L-X.
Yes, there you have it. 251 Minnesota at Green Bay. It's 6.5 everywhere. It's a blanket of 6.5 with Green Bay laying it.
Yeah, I hate that I like favorites this week. It's never Minnesota, man, because for everything that I said about Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy was that bad. Like, I went and watched that game, and woof, man. Like, I'm wondering, like, we were joking, how long until we see Justin Jefferson start throwing his helmet? I think we're like one or two games away at this point. When you watch some of those throws, they're 5 yards short. There's 10 yards over his head. And he just could not hit wide receivers. You could tell that he's still struggling with it. Another interesting quote after the game here, KOC comes out and says, the cement's going to dry soon. We think it's coming around, but it's taken a little longer than we thought to really build the foundation with McCarthy and his mechanics. It's like, you don't want your head coach coming out and saying that 12 weeks into the season after, oh, by the way, you had an entire season on the bench to figure this stuff out too. I don't believe in the McCarthy experience at all at this point. So it would be Packers or pass at 6.5 here.
Minnesota, if they dig in on pride, they're going to put their franchise back for years. They're going to have to find a new quarterback. I'm saying it, November 20, 2025. That is not a pro. He is not going to be a pro. He's a good kid. He's a fine kid. He's not going to be a pro. 9. Yeah, I'd have to go Green Bay or anything. 253, Indianapolis at Kansas City. So again, we find ourselves in a spot that we haven't been in for a decade. At week 12, generally, Kansas City's trying to figure out how to stay healthy for the postseason. Now it's a playoff game. This is a playoff game. It's 3.5. We have seen, I am looking at South Point's a 3, mm-hmm. which is interesting. A pretty sharp book. But everybody else is 3. Circa's 3.
Yeah. They're starting to pop, Patrick. You're starting to catch threes inside this market.
Love.
Which is interesting because this was like 4 at one point earlier in the week when we were talking about the look-aheads and when we were talking about the openers. It's been all Colts money here coming off the bye against the Chiefs team that has not looked like we expected with this offense. Once they got all of the different pieces back, this is going to be a big test for them. Because last week, look, you're on the road, you're at Denver. That is a very, very good defense. This Colts defense is kind of masquerading as a good defense, but they're not actually a good defense. There are holes in the secondary, but now you've got Sauce Gardner back after the bye. I would expect he just shadows Rashee Rice's reception yards, 75.5, like the under there, because I do think you're going to get shadowed by Sauce. I don't have a bet in this game. If we get a KC 2.5, I will be betting the Chiefs. If not, I'm probably going to pass on the side in total. I think it's going to be a fascinating watch, though. Kansas City needs to show up. They need to play well if they are going to be a Super Bowl contender, and I sure hope they are, because like we talked about, I took them at 12-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Sama, what's the weather in Kansas City? Because as you and I are talking, you know, 50.5s are pretty prevalent for the total, but Pinnacle, one of the sharpest books around, as we're talking, just lit up and went from 49.5 down to 49.
Yeah, nothing crazy. It's not actually a big weather week, which is interesting considering here we are pushing late into November. But right now in Kansas City, expected to be 59 degrees with a 5-mile-per-hour wind. So, like, great fall football weather. And we've been talking about the weather the last couple weeks. As of now, no game this weekend expecting winds over 9 miles per hour. And that's what bettors really care about, is that wind. It's not the precipitation. Correct. It's the wind and how much we're going to have out there. Right now, no wind games this week.
Yeah, the rain doesn't really bother them. It may be a little bit, you know, with the visuals with snow, but they're concerned about wind. And once you go 10 plus, 12 plus miles an hour is where you start really affecting. Look for run props to go up and totals to go down.
I actually think snow helps the offense. Have you ever played snow football, Patrick?
It's
you
fun.
Were from, you were
yeah,
from Detroit.
Michigan. I mean, that's all we played.
Dude, when you knew where you were going and your defender didn't.
Hey, you could stick your foot in the snow and be fine. It's not as slippery.
And but then when they're trying to change direction, man, those defenders, they keep scooting forward and you're just stopped waiting for the football. It helps the offense if you get the snow out there.
255, Jacksonville's at Arizona. This will be one of my plays. I just Arizona catching three. I'm not laying Jacksonville. I'm just not.
Yeah, this is one of those where you get the best version of Jacksonville last week against the worst version of the Chargers, and you see the reaction in the market where now we're going to go on the road. We're going to lay three at Arizona, a team that was able to move the football. I agree with you. Arizona's the right side. I like the over in this game more, though, Patrick.
Yeah, I love that.
This is like, I'm not sold on this Jacksonville defense. I think last week was, again, the perfect spot against a banged-up offensive line. This week, you've got a team in Arizona who has shown they can throw the football all around the yard. We saw that with Michael Wilson last week. We saw the big game from their tight end McBride as well. I think this is a bad Arizona defense with a competent offense. Let's take over 47.5.
Yep. 257 Cleveland at Vegas. I'll just say this is another one of my plays. I do like Cleveland catching the four at Vegas. I mean, obviously the best unit on the field is going to be the Cleveland defense, and I do think you're going to get a bump from the quarterback. I don't want to get into the drama, but the Raiders. Watch the Raiders secondary attempt to tackle Dallas Cowboys receivers. It was ole. And that means they have given up.
It sure feels like they are disinterested in playing any more football. I'm waiting for sack props. I want Garrett Wilson sack props. Like, what's because Geno Smith is basically a walking sack behind that offensive line.
It's a banged up offensive line, for the Raiders.
Oh, they're terrible. They're awful. I got to say, are you going to watch this football game?
Well, the Shador thing does add some interest.
It does add some interest. I'll give you that. This is going to be the ugliest game of the week. This is not going to be pretty.
No, I'm not like waking up on Sunday like, oh, that's right. The Raiders and Browns are today.
Going to lock in, turn every TV off except one, pop a Zen, and watch some Raiders football. That's what I'm hearing, right?
Hey,
there it is. I agree with you. I like the Browns. I think it's Browns or pass. It's a disgusting click, but it is probably the right. I can't get to them, the Raiders being a 4-point favorite here. Like that to me is a wild number on the other side of three.
Put it this way, forget the Cleveland offense. I'm betting the four because I think the Browns defense can do that much against a dispirited team and offensive line. You're right. The Miles Garrett set his total at 3.5. You might go over.
Yeah, I mean, he's got what? A five sack game on the year. And now you get just this one. And then you've got Cam Ward coming up, too. He needs 23 to set the record. You can get plus 130. He's at 15 to get eight more. I don't mind the plus 130. It's going to be a fun sweat, too, for the entire season. If you want to get disgusting here, Patrick, Shador Sanders passing prop set at 159.5. That is disgustingly low against a bad Raiders secondary.
It's low.
I mean, 160.
That's low.
160. We could do 160.
150 yard pop, and all of a sudden you're just trying to piece together.
I don't mind the over if you want to get some more Shador or some more liability here toward the Browns. Geno Smith also minus 200 to throw a pick. One of the wilder numbers I've seen out there for a player to throw an interception.
259. Atlanta's at New Orleans. New Orleans is FanDuel's 1.5. A lot of DraftKings is 2.5. Let's see what Circa is. Circa's 2. They split the difference. No Drake London. Obviously, no Michael Penix Jr. I'm laying it with New Orleans.
Yeah, this is a flip favorite. So we saw the Atlanta as high as a 3.5-point favorite mid last week. We reopened with the Atlanta as a 2.5-point favorite. We saw those immediately flip when we were talking on Monday. It was 1.5 on each side, and now it's all Saints money. I think the London injury actually matters as much as the Penix one, if not
totally.
More, because he is a real outlet for them on the outside. Without him, like you're rolling Mooney out there, Pitt seniors, your number two target. I mean, it's just not pretty in the receiving core. So it's all about what Bijan can do. It's a Saints team that's actually played the run decently well. I agree with you. It's Saints or pass. I didn't get to the window, but I don't think you're on the wrong side.
261 Philly, Dallas. Listen, Dallas has become a feel-good story. Marshawn Nealon is a tragedy. You like the emotion. It was the Raiders. We need to chill. They're not making the postseason. Look at their schedule. But they're a likable team. Schottenheimer's likable. Dak's likable. Whatever. The love is hilarious. Philly is 3. There are 3.5s. and 47 you can find, and that is where we're going. I'm going to go over the 47.
Is Jerry Jones likable? Does he fall in the likable category?
I mean, listen, I'd like to hang.
Yeah, that's true. He probably would be a good hang.
The guy gets after it still.
I took the 3.5 with Dallas here. I just, this Philly offense is broken. And as good as the Philadelphia defense is, I do think you're going to see Dallas have some success against them. So I think this just ends up being a close game. I'll take the 3.5 on the other side of the field goal with Dallas.
Fair enough. 263, Tampa Bay's at the Rams. Wow. Were we at 6 on Sunday?
6.5, yeah.
Yeah, no sevens more. Pinnacle's, the sharp, very sharp books is 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
So Rams getting a lot of love here.
We're expecting Godwin Jr. back. We are expecting Irving back. I say expecting because we have not officially heard we're going to have those two back. And it's been like a 4-week drama fest here. I feel like we're on Days of Our Lives where, as the hourglass turns on these two injuries and we're not finding out anything new day after day after day. I can't bet this game without knowing if Bucky's out. Because, here's the thing. Bucky Irving matters. Godwin matters. I don't want to lay the 7.5 and have them show up on the field. I'm sure not. I'd love to take a 7.5 if both play, but I don't know if they're going to play. And my guess is this injury news breaks and moves the market, and I'm not going to be fast enough to get the number I want.
Quick message to Todd Bowles: don't give up on games. It'll be because that's what he has. He's an odd cat, man. He's done a good job there, but don't give up on games. Don't be punting like that. You're down 20. 265. So Monday night we finish here again. The Tampa Bay and Rams. That's a good game for a Sunday night. And then we've got Carolina, San Francisco. All of a sudden, Carolina above 500 at San Francisco. So Purdy, obviously, the connection with Kittle is real. Defensively, I just don't know how they continue to hold up. 6.5 if you want to lay it with San Francisco. 7s if you want to find it with Carolina.
I think this is another just great over game. There's 49s in the market. There are some 49.5s. San Francisco, man, they're going to score against pretty much anybody, and their defense is atrocious. I mean, we saw last week against the Arizona Cardinals, we saw Brissett set the completions record. He throws for 450-plus yards. I think that you're going to see Bryce Young have a lot of success in this game. McMillan got it going. We saw Legette get it going last time. This is a gettable secondary for the Niners and a team with no pass rush. To me, it's Panthers or pass. You take the points when there's no defense on the other side, but I like the total even more. I'll go over 49 here with the Panthers and 49ers on Monday night.
Yeah, I'll take the 7 with the Panthers. Okay, so before we get to Thursday tonight here on Sharp Money, quickly, my three plays: Chicago laying the 2.5, Arizona catching the 3, and Cleveland catching the 4.
Yeah, I've got 4 of them here. Give me the Patriots minus the 6.5. Took Dallas plus the 3.5. And then I'll go over 47.5, Jacksonville, Arizona. Over 49, San Francisco and Carolina.
Good job. So we'll talk Friday night on Mad Dog Sports Radio about hockey. We should start let's do an NHL pod.
Well, here's
Sharp Money NHL.
Here's the beauty. Sharp Money can go anywhere it wants. We can go hockey right now. If you want to go hockey right now, we can go NBA, talk your Detroit Pistons.
I think we got admonished for going too long.
Well, we got plenty of time on this episode, Patrick. Maybe on the recap episode.
It's nice when people are paying attention. You get positive feedback.
Exactly.
You'll love to hear it. Hey, you'll love to hear it.
Any feedback in this industry is positive feedback.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing it for free. let's see. Okay, so Thursday, don't forget, we were talking about the weather and injuries. The newsletter is the best place on Sunday morning to find that information. Go to vsin.com/newsletter. Sign up. There's no obligation. It's completely free. Just enter your email address. Okay, Buffalo, Houston. Houston is now sitting right there at the 8 seed. Started 0-3. They're now 5-5. No Stroud. You do have Davis Mills. Buffalo tonight, number 5.5. There were 6s yesterday.
Yeah, we've seen this number move quite a bit. I mean, we had 3.5s when we talked about this on Monday. I bet it at 2.5 last week. So it's been Bills money. The CJ Stroud of it all was interesting. We talked about how that 3.5 was just assumed that he was going to play. And we're both like, are we sure he's going to play? Now he's not going to play. No CJ Stroud. And that's why we see this number go up to 6. If it ever got through to 7, I would have been betting. I would have had the minus 2.5 plus 7. And just hope for the middle there to see what we could make happen. We never got to 7. Just come down off that number. At 5.5, I'm still Houston or pass. If I was betting now, I would wait because a lot of the 5.5s are minus 105. You have a shot at getting six, I think, by the time we kick off tonight. So it would be Houston or pass for me at the current number. But it's a tough one to get involved in. I do like the under. The total's ticked up a little bit here. We were talking about 43.5. We're up to 44.5 now. Another one where I kind of want to hang out and see if I can get 45 before kick, but I do like the under at 44.5 here. I think this Houston defense is going to be very good against this Buffalo offense.
So you mentioned Bucky Irving, and Tampa Bay didn't have him in Buffalo, but they did have a dude nobody had heard of, and they ran for over 200 yards.
Sean Tucker, baby.
Yeah, let me
Syracuse.
Give you this.
Syracuse, come on.
Shout to Cuse. Let me give you this. So Woody Marks has been getting the lion's share the last few weeks of the carries, and then obviously Nick Chubb. So you're seeing 66.5 on Marks. Nick Chubb's 22.5. He is getting 4 to 5, and he potentially could get six. If he gets six carries, he is going over this 22.5. He might go over on two carries. So I, against this Bills rush defense, I'm going to take a shot with Chubb on the just a really deflated rush total at 22.5.
Yeah, right now Chubb's rush attempts is 5.5. So if he's expected to get six. So 6+ right now, minus 132. I agree with you. If he gets the six carries, I think it's likely he goes over that 22.5. I actually played Woody Marks combined rushing and receiving yards at 74.5. With the idea that it kind of takes away the game state issues you have in this. I mean, there's a world where Buffalo just jumps up 14 points and all of a sudden you're not seeing the run game from this Houston Texans team. Well, if that's the case, Mark stays in the game and he still gets passing yards. He is still a utilizable weapon inside the passing game for Houston here. So I took the Mark's number over rushing plus receiving at 74.5 with the similar idea of what you're saying. I want to try and take shots against this Buffalo rushing defense because it is not good. And they have issues covering running backs out of the backfield as well. So I think you can go Chubb 22.5. You can go Marks over rushing receiving 74.5. I think both are good looks here.
Okay. We'll see you on Sunday night after Tampa Bay and the Rams. Remember, Sunday night, we'll also have the Thanksgiving preview with the games on Thursday into week 13. So we're flying here, Samich. Anything else to close it?
It's crazy how deep we have gotten. This is a big week from a playoff picture perspective. So I'm excited to come on, talk Sunday night with you around what we're seeing in these books from make miss the playoffs. We talked, I like the Bears to miss minus 105. There's some interesting bets that are hitting the market out there. I will also just throw this out there in case you missed Monday's show. Played Panthers under 7.5 wins plus 165. They are 6-5 right now. I will be full fading the Panthers the rest of the season, my friend.
If that misses, I'm going to force you to read Dave Canales' book, which is about pornography, addiction, and alcohol.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I'm wondering, could I get a better number if I did a manufactured money line parlay? If I just started tonight and bet 1,000 on San Francisco money line minus 335 and just rolled that up with all the games except the Saints game. Which they basically is what I'm saying. They're going to lose
just
all those games anyway.
Yeah.
Would I get a better number than plus 165?
Plus 165 on a 6-win team with 7 games to go under 1.5.
We all have our problems. We all have our problems, man. The rest of the schedule is brutal. That's the funny thing. Make sure if you're out there and you're looking at some of these props, look at the rest of the schedule because you're going to see that these numbers are heavily defined by who they are playing and who you've got left there versus just what that current record is. The AFC is going to be fascinating, Patrick, because it looks like we're going to have one or two of the heavy hitters who are going to end up missing the playoffs now.
Yeah, I mean, essentially the Chiefs have to go. They have to go either 5-2 or 6-1. You have to get to 10. You might not get in at 10.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens, obviously 5-5, but their schedule. Listen, they got the Jets to go to 6-5. And then somebody like Cincinnati, do not buy in. They've got the Pats, the Ravens, the Bills, and Ravens next four. So be careful with these schedules.
This tonight's game, I think, is more important than people realize, too. If this Houston team can push to 6-5 and Buffalo drops to 7-4, it's great for the Patriots. They look like they're going to be in a great position to get the one. But the AFC South is not decided yet. If you have Houston starting to creep, and with what their schedule is left, they're going to have the opportunity to make up games against a Colts team that they get to play twice, including to close out the season. All of a sudden, Houston is in the conversation. I mean, there's a lot of different levers that can be pulled here that can change things up inside the AFC.
Yeah, Houston's 8 right now. Jacksonville's 7 right now in the final playoff spot. So Jacksonville, that Arizona game is going to be tricky for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Houston somehow luck boxes their way into a win tonight. All of a sudden, things have flipped.
Yeah, well, you know, Davis Mills always beats Josh Allen. I'm sure that's going to go well for
him. Hey, Davis Mills, 2 games in a row, fourth quarter and walk-offs. So you love it.
I will say this for the Jags. So it's the Cardinals this week. They still have the Titans twice and the Jets on the schedule. So you would expect they get 3 more wins, even if they lose that Cardinals game. That pushes them to 9. That's right on the borderline. Then the question is, can they get one against the Colts? Can they get win against the Broncos? They get the Colts twice and the Broncos to fill out the schedule. So going to be fascinating to see what that Jags team can do, especially since I think they're another, like, it's funny how many fraudulent teams I think could end up making the playoffs this year because of how well that the start of the season has gone for them.
It's funny how many fraudulent teams are playing in the NFL right now.
That's true.
Basic teams, we should say. Basic.
It's tough to, this is like, I was talking with Matt Brown on Beast and Primetime last night. This is the lowest ranked high team in my power ratings in the last decade, week 12. So that, like, there are literally 8 teams that are within 2 points of each other inside my power rankings. And the number one team is the lowest rated number one team I've had in a decade with 12 weeks into the season. Just not a clear cut. Hey, this is the team. This is the number one team you want to be looking at this year.
Let's finish with this. The Bears to miss the postseason. They're 7-3. The quest to 10. 7 games left. They host Pittsburgh. They're at Philly. They're at Green Bay. Cleveland. Green Bay. At San Francisco. Detroit. So we give them a Cleveland win. That's 8.
Yeah.
We give them a split with Green Bay. 2 left. That's 9.
That's generous.
Pitt, Philly, San Francisco, Detroit to get to 10.
I mean, are we sure they split with Green Bay? You were really going to do my Packers like that?
You just bet under Carolina, and Carolina went to Green Bay and won a football game.
You're going to do my Packers like that? Unbelievable. I think the Bears win 9. I think they win 2 more games the rest of the season.
Okay. We will find out more on Sunday night. We'll see you then. Thank you for all the downloads. Wherever you find your podcasts, of course, VSIN, download Sharp Money, like, subscribe, and share.
Review.
Is that it?
You were close.
Just tell people about the dumb podcast.
It's subscribe, like, and review.
That's exactly what I said. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. We'll see you Sunday night.
It's actually rate. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Well, that's exactly what I said. We'll see you Sunday.